As I walk this road, I face my fears. I know my Lord can count my tears. I need your everlasting peace on me, on me. Life you gave that I might live. My time on earth is all I can give. Took the fall so I could live free, live free. So I pray to you, Lord, with all my heart and all my soul. I give it completely, Lord, with all that I have and all that I owe. I give it wholly, Lord. Can I say, my God above, what can I do to express my love?
Well, if you have your Bibles, let's study together a little bit, shall we? Acts, the fourth chapter, is kind of where we'll get started along the way. I should mention to you that Pastor Duncan wanted to be here really bad. Cindy called me. See, it was the hospital, Monday or Tuesday, something like that. And she said, well, she said, Daddy's really sick, really in bad shape. But she said, he wants to come to church Sunday. So we don't know how we're going to get him there, but he wants to come to church. How incredible is that? It's a summation statement, you know, because of the incredible love he had for his family and for the church. So he's worshiping on higher ground today. Can you imagine? Oh my goodness. No, we can't. We just cannot even imagine the glory and the presence. Being able to be there with Jesus. Absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I don't think our minds can even get a hold of that, let alone comprehend what a magnificent moment that's going to be. But I do want to mention his lovely family that's down here on these, let's see, four rows there in the front. And welcome. It's good to have you here today. And I know that your hearts are heavy, as my heart is heavy. What an honor, what a privilege it is for us to know one another and to do life together. Amen. By the way, this afternoon from 3 until 8 o'clock, you will be able to come and be a viewing time, but time to grab hold of these folks and express your love and design. And then tomorrow at 11, the funeral service. I shouldn't call it that. It's just going to be a memorial and a time of worship. We're going to just try and have a good worship time. You know, it's interesting. It's always, I don't say difficult, it's not the right word, but a funeral, you realize that every family has certain expectations. You know, there's something inside the mind of what the perfect funeral service would look like. And so, you know, as a pastor, you want to try to get as close to that as you possibly can so that it adds to the comfort and doesn't take away or frustrate in any way, you know. But in a situation like this, I it's complicated because he and I had either 8 or 10 funerals together, and we talked a lot about the whole process, and so I know how he felt about a lot of the process, and so I have that complication on top of it, you know, and so it's interesting. He did not like funeral services to be too long. As a matter of fact, he felt very strongly about that. And there were a few other elements that were very important, and we'll believe the Lord will help us in getting all of those present. Amen? I want to talk to you for this morning about giving. And as I mentioned from the very first, I know that even in the mention of it, it's kind of like giving. Oh, you know, he's going to go after our money. Boy, you could not be more wrong as far as in my motive. Giving is one of those opportunities that God gives us to be like him. We started this whole process a few weeks back. Go to the next slide there if you would. Thank you, dear. First message was the nature of giving. And I just want to underscore the very first point, and that is the purpose of giving is love. There really cannot be any other motivation for us to give other than love. And folks, I'm not just talking about giving money. It is giving service. And you know, you can tell the difference as whether somebody's doing it for pay or for compulsion, you know, somebody's forcing them to. You sometimes you may think that you really pull it off, you know, if somebody forced you to come to church. Just about every service that we have, there's at least one or two individuals in the sanctuary that somebody compelled them to come to church. And they wear it. Huh? A lot of times they're young. And boy, they can you see the stiffness in the whole works. So. And I watch people who have given in the same way. That's why Paul says, not reluctantly nor of necessity. You know, we need to understand giving out of love is where all the value is. That's where you can really come to know and enjoy giving, is to give it because you want to. Give because of love. The second message was the naturalness of giving.
And when we talk about this whole thing that the giving nature comes from God, it was lost in the fall when man and woman decided to sin. They lost that giving nature. You can see that very quickly because they no longer were concerned about fellowshipping with God. They were concerned about covering themselves. They were concerned about hiding. They were concerned about themselves. And that selfishness has carried on now for thousands of years as mankind has moved on forward in the midst of our sin. We've gotten more selfish. My Bible says as the end approaches that men will continue to become more self-oriented. When we come to know Christ as our Savior, that attitude should be broken. I said should be because it's not always. Some people never allow the redemption of their giver. It's true. They kind of keep that pain, that agony of giving. Even some who give, and by the way, the Lord gave us three examples through the Old Testament of giving. You can see them. Are they listed up there? Maybe they're not. Oh, they were on the previous slide. There they are. No? Anyway, they were there someplace. They were on the very first one, and that is first fruits, tithing, and offerings. Just about all financial giving will fit into one of those three categories from the Old Testament. But, you know, this was God teaching, laying it out before us. The third message was about the joy of giving. And very basically that nothing brings the kind of joy that giving brings. The fourth message was a passion for giving, developing a passion for giving. Now, this only comes by actually doing it. But when you give and you get that surge, that giving surge, you want to do it more. Pretty cool. When you see somebody with a need and you're able to step in and respond and meet that need, doesn't it right inside you kind of make you want to, let me find somebody else? How many have experienced that? One, two, oh, there we go. Today's message, and I have to speak to the incredibleness of this. This message would have been preached last Sunday were it not for snow. Okay? But this is the goodness of the Lord. Because today I'm talking about a legacy of giving. And how incredibly important and how appropriate it is on this Sunday with the passing of our dear brother. Because Pastor Duncan gave so naturally. Now, I'm not going to make him the center post this morning, but I do think we need to acknowledge the reality that exists, that the Holy Spirit ordered us to be at this point, at this time. A legacy of giving. Acts chapter 4, beginning at verse number 36, two verses there, says, Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Now his name was Joseph, but his life said encouragement. And his mannerism said, I love to give. Now, you have to understand, as I mentioned a moment ago, that not all giving is money. Some giving is service. We would say giving service is what a servant is. And you and I know some servants. Some who give beyond themselves. Barnabas was one of those kind of guys. He gave beyond himself. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean that he wasn't looking for personal glory. We see the contrast of that, of course, because chapter 5, verse number 1, now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. You see, he was giver, but he was giving about him and about her. Their whole attitude, their whole desire was to make them look good. Barnabas, on the other hand, wasn't looking for personal benefit on this. He was a servant. He had the nickname of Son of Encouragement. That's not a bad thing, is it? I've been called a lot of things. I wish Son of Encouragement was one of them. You know, it's kind of hard sometimes to, well, some of it is the way your face is made. Well, you know, honestly, my wife's always told me, you know, your deep-set eyes make you look mad all the time. People are scared of you. Boy, that's not what I want. I wish I had a different face. Oh, well, that and several other things. But he must have had one of those kind of faces. You know, I have worked at understanding why Pastor Duncan was so dearly loved. Because he and I, again, too many stories of him ordering people out of the church. If he had a board member that he didn't get along with, and he told me a couple of different ones that, you know, they came in and they were really negative and stuff like that, and he said, leave, never come back. I'm like, you said what? Everybody in the whole world would hate me. I mean, it would get out there and everybody would hate me if I said something like that. So there are certain individuals that God has just made that they're sons and daughters of encouragement. It's not just what they say, it's just who they are. It's incredible. You know, one of the things that you will learn about leaving a legacy of giving, or if you want to say a legacy of servanthood, is that it has to begin with a strong model. In other words, if you want your children, your grandchildren, and those that follow you to pick up on anything, they're going to have a strong model of that. In other words, it can't just be something in your mind where you're thinking, I sure hope they think well of me in this area. You're going to have to practice that before them. Huh? You know, I want my family to think of me as kind. So then you can't be mean to everybody and have them think that you're kind. You follow me? If you want them to see you as a giver, they're going to have a strong model of you giving. I realize with my children, and boy, don't you get smarter as the years go on? I mean, not about everything, but I mean about some things. It's such a shame that we don't know this stuff going in. No one ever taught me, no one ever said to me the importance of modeling giving before my kids. Now, I've got great kids. They're all grown. But we were of the nature that everything was kind of secret. You know, that you're giving, the amount that you gave, and all of this was kind of secret. That was kind of the nature of things. And so You know, we never announced to our kids if we were giving to this or that or something else, even helping people out or something or other. We would just do it and really did it to where they didn't know, because I was always concerned that our daughter would tell everybody. But we missed it. Because in keeping that secret and in giving in secret, we never really were able to place that model before them. As I said, you know, you learn some things, and I can't go back and change where we were at when our kids were small, but maybe I can help you. Moms and dads, give in front of your kids. Grandma and grandpas, give in front of your grandkids. Let them see that you are a model of giving. You may hide your almsgiving from everybody else, but those that are following you in legacy, do it before them. Let them see that you help people, that you minister over other people, that you sacrifice for people. It's the only way that then they can pick up the rhythm of that and move on from there. Oh, just think, if they could start where you're finishing. You know, the challenge to you folks is that you would pick up the heart of Pastor Duncan and carry it forward, to not have to walk where he walked and learn the lessons that he learned and back over. But just think, just to be able to pick up on the legacy left behind of a giver, of a servant, and to move it on forward, how magnificent that could be. And as moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas all over the sanctuary, we've got that challenge. Teach it. By the way, you've got to be a giver first. I'm not talking about bragging over your giving. I'm not going, looky here, we're giving this amount of money. I'm not talking about that. It's just let them see your participation. You know, I really believe that the only time that we will hold back on that is perhaps if our motive is wrong or else we don't know. Hopefully today we're taking care of the don't know part. You'll have to deal with the motive yourself. In other words, if you're giving out of the wrong motive, you may not want others to see it. But if you're giving because you love God and because your giving is an outflow of that love in your life, then let it flow. Let those that are coming after you see what God is doing. Look at Jesus. He went about doing good. It's in all of the Gospels, that statement. He went about doing good. In other words, they knew him as one who went about doing good. He was a giver of people. He didn't reach out. He said, the Son of Man did not come to be ministered unto, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many. His whole purpose was to minister to others before himself. He had compassion on the hungry, and he fed them, to the amazement sometimes of the other apostles that he had called to follow him. He said, you know, these folks are hungry. They're going to faint. And they go, well, where are we going to get enough bread? Jesus says, feed them. Say, what? They said, well, a whole year's wages would not be sufficient. Jesus said, what do you have? He said, let's start with what you have, and then we'll go from there. And so, you know, on one occasion, a couple of loaves, a few small fish, broke them, blessed them, gave them to the people, and they ate. And basketfuls were brought back. Not everybody knew about that miracle, but the 12. Why? Because he was leaving behind them a legacy of giving. He reinforced that on the night that he was betrayed, when he took off his robe and wrapped a towel around him and crawled around on the floor by the tables and took their dirty feet and washed them with a towel, or with washed them in the water and then wiped them with the towel. And he turned to them and he said, now, even as I have done this to you, so you do this for one another. It was a legacy. He was teaching them by his very own example. And the Apostle Paul was the same way, a model of giving. He worked as a tent maker, not because he had to. As a matter of fact, he was very, very stern in the fact that those who preach the gospel should earn their living from the gospel. In the same way that God had talked to the priest and that the priests were to be ministered to out of the offerings that God had called for. It was a very important lesson. But the Apostle Paul was wanting to leave behind a legacy. He said, I don't want anybody to think that they have taken care of me. I want them to realize that everything that I did for the Lord. So he worked as a tent maker while he traveled about. He spoke and wrote constantly of his concern for others, sometimes even from prison. Don't you know that a letter from prison, from somebody who is imprisoned because they were put there because they love people, and then in the prison, they write a letter to those people encouraging them with words like, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Don't you know that that kind of leaves a mark? Is it any wonder that we're still studying the words of the Apostle Paul? You say, well, they were canonized by the Spirit of the Lord. Yes, absolutely, but also because he left us a legacy of giving that is hard to be matched in any realm, that a man sitting in a dungeon strapped with chains between two guards would dictate to somebody else, here, send this message off to those that I love. And it's a message of encouragement and strengthening and trying to bolster them and lift them up in their journey and in their walk before the Lord. I'm telling you, folks, a legacy of giving begins with a strong model. Before I move on, I just would mention Joseph was one of those. You know, when he, I don't know if he's married, I presume that he was. But when he and his wife decided that they were going to sell this piece of his inheritance and give the money into the church, it seems biblically that perhaps this was the first of that type of gesture that was made. It was a seed gesture, quickly followed by Ananias and Sapphira, but with different motive. But their hearts were so pure in it. And if this was the only thing that we saw from him, I doubt that we would know too much about Barnabas. But if you keep on going in the word, in Acts chapter 9, when Saul of Tarsus was saved, gave his heart to Christ, and after a very short time, was brought down to Jerusalem, and all the apostles wouldn't see him. And a man called Barnabas took Saul of Tarsus and introduced him around. You know what that meant? That meant that he put his reputation on the line. He said, I'll vouch for this man. I'll vouch for this one who was killing Christians just weeks before. Wow. That's standing in the gap. That's a sign of encouragement. Oh, by the way, I should tell you one more, that even when this Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul, was ministering with Barnabas, and they traveled and made some missionary journeys together, but then they took this young, strapping kid along called John Mark. And John Mark, somewhere along the line, got scared and wanted to go home. So he fled and went back home. The next missionary journey, Mark wanted to go with Paul. Paul said, no, I remember what you did the last time. You're not going to go. Barnabas and Paul had a split. Paul ended up taking Silas, and Barnabas took Mark. See? A legacy. A strong model that exists. You want your grandchildren, you want other people to think of you as a giver, as a servant, then you need to model that before their very eyes. Amen? All right. Legacy of giving is conveyed through repetitive teaching. It's a reality. In 2 Corinthians, if you want to get yourself over there, if you brought a Bible. How many brought a Bible? Oh, good. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning at verse number 1, it says, Paul says, there's no need for me to write to you about this service to the saints. He's talking about giving. He says, for I know your eagerness to help, and I've been boasting about it to the Macedonians, telling them that since last year, you and Acacia were ready to give, and your enthusiasm has stirred most of them to action. But I'm sending the brothers in order that our boasting about you in this matter should not prove hollow, but that you may be ready as I said you would be. For if any Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, not to say anything about you, would be ashamed of having been so confident. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to visit you in advance and finish the arrangements for the generous gifts you had promised. Then it will be ready as a generous gift, not as one grudgingly given. In other words, Paul's saying, I'm reminding you so you don't embarrass yourself. How about that? Warren Dennison says, a Christian giving is God's divine plan to make us like himself. It reveals our religion and bears our souls. It is prophetic and has to do with the inner sensitiveness and gives a keener vision to his work and plans. In other words, when we learn to give, other things happen to us spiritually. You know, many people come wanting a blessing from God. It's true. How many would receive a blessing from God today? Some wouldn't. I'm sorry. Come on, let me see. How many of you would receive a blessing from the Lord today? Thank you. There we go. Yes, of course we would. If God wanted to bless us, we would receive his blessings. Learning the reality of the Word of God, that giving is part of that equation. Give, and it shall be unto. The incredible part of that is, he doesn't just promise to give us back what we've given to him. What does he say? Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. That's incredible. Now again, see, I know it's not just about money. It's about service. It's about being a servant. It's about caring. You know, the outpouring that we sense over the loss of Pastor Duncan is not just about the man. It is about all that he has given. It's all the hospital beds that he has stood beside, and all the caskets that he has stood beside, and all the hurting people that he has listened to, and all of those that he has set and been a son of encouragement to throughout the years. It's all of that that is pouring back. It's not something you talk about. It's not something that you can just wish would happen. If you want to be seen as a giver, you've got to give. And there has to be reminders along the way compelling us. Thinking about some of those stories. And the tragic death of Pastor Duncan's first wife, grandson. He's devastated. He told me, he said, several times this story. He said, I'm sitting on my porch. He said, I didn't want to live. I didn't want to go on. He said, I didn't want anything. He said, and the Lord spoke to his heart and says, are you going to just sit there? Or are you going to get up and serve me? He said, he got up and began to serve the Lord. After his first major heart attack that he had, he resigned from pastoral ministry and, as he said to me, fled to Florida. I think because nobody knew him down there, so they weren't going to ask him. But then as he came back, you know, the desire to touch and to minister to people. I wish I could tell you the number of times just in this last year that he said to me, I should never have left. You ever say that to you? Yeah. He said, I should never have left. He, by the way, he told me he had somebody who was going to build this building, basically the other end down there, for $10 an hour. He said, I had a fellow that was going to build that whole building for $10 an hour. He said, I... I'm sorry. I don't know who the dear man was, but he would have taken on quite a task. But nevertheless, you know, this was the heart, you know, to realize, he said, should never have left. Just because I had a heart attack, I should never have just. You understand what I'm saying this morning? You know, you can either learn some of these lessons by somebody else's life, or you can go through and learn them over and over and over and over again. You and I have an opportunity to leave behind a legacy of giving, a legacy of servanthood, one that says this is what life is all about. This is where it's done correctly. These folks, and I know if Pastor Duncan was here, he would be quick to stand up and tell you there was no perfection in the man. He recognized it. And any other save Jesus. But we learn. It will be through repetitive learning that we convey this reality that giving is the way to move. If we don't talk about this, if I don't take the tension in hand of giving and talk to you about giving on occasionally, we'll never learn. These are hard sermons to preach because it's like I'm trying to get into your pocketbooks or something. I don't know what it is. Again, I could care less about that. What I want for you is I want God to bless you. I want you to know the blessings of being a giver. And there's only one way that that's going to happen, and that is if you learn to give. Let me tell you something. There's no shortage of receivers and takers. What this world needs is givers. Let me end with this piece, and that is that a legacy of giving is captured in the heart and not the mind. See, I have that reality even as I'm trying to communicate this with you today, that right now you're hearing it with your ears, it's going into your mind, and you're trying to decide of what you're going to do with it. Some of you who are already givers in your life, it just reinforces what you're already, where you're already at, the path that you're on. It's just, yes, that's right. Yes, come on. Yes, that's right. I want my children. I want my grandchildren. I want them to realize that I'm a giver. Yes, come on, Pastor. Go, go, go. Others who have not caught hold of this and don't understand the value and the power that comes forth in giving, you're trying to adjust it with your minds. Let me tell you something. You'll never, ever really be a giver as long as it's here. It's when it gets in here. You know, I've said this about ministry, about serving the Lord. If you're serving the Lord because you have to, then it won't last very long. I don't like to ask people to do ministry in church. Because if they take it on and they do it for me, the clock is ticking. Because it's here and not here. Because every ministry, every act of service, every act of giving in the kingdom of God will cost you something. Sometimes it costs you now, and it costs you later, and it costs you again, it costs you again. Especially if you're serving people, because sometimes people are hard to deal with. And the ones that you give the most to are the ones that turn around. Fifteen years ago when I went to Michigan to take a pastor up there and try to dig a troubled church out, my very first Sunday, Sharon hadn't even come up there yet, my very first Sunday that after I was elected, and she wasn't there, and so this family came to me and said, would you come home and eat lunch with us? And I said, well, sure, yeah, you know, nothing to do between now and tonight's service. And besides, I'd love to be with you. They were an Italian family, and of course they loved to cook, and she prepared all kinds of food and everything like this. And sitting at the table, they said, Pastor, from this day forward, you're no longer just our pastor, you're family. We just want you to know you're family. You will be included in our family and everything that we do, you're family. Thank you. What do you say to someone like that? Hey, no, that's great. I acknowledged it, thanked him for it. We had good fellowship. And for a couple, 3 years, we had great fellowship. Everything was fantastic. They had come from one of the largest churches in Michigan. And that church had gotten a bad pastor. I hope you don't feel that way. But anyway, they had gotten a bad pastor. He cared more about having a Christian school than he did about pastoring the church. He told them that. But nevertheless. So consequently, they left that church and had come to where I was at. Well, he left. By the way, he was Canadian. He went back there. And when he left, then they got in a young fireball pastor into that big church where these folks had all grown up and had family and friends and all this kind of stuff. So all of a sudden I look up and my family is missing. And all of a sudden I receive a letter that said, Pastor, we're really sorry, but we've gone home to our home church. And, you know, we're not trying to hurt you, but you know, we've gone home to our home church. And I wanted to say, am I still family? Huh? See, the things that we learn and the motives, as I said, so many stories with Pastor of the hurts of people along the way. Any two or three of them would have been enough for him to say, I'll never do this again. It was in his heart. Jesus was spit on, beaten. He could have killed the whole world. But it was in his heart. He didn't just have it in his mind to come and give himself. It was in his heart. He gave out of love. My hunger for you as a congregation and guests is that you would learn how to give out of the heart full of love. Sometimes people will hurt you. That's my point. They will. And I've known many persons who have given up on serving because somebody hurt them. Understand what I'm saying? I just won't do this anymore. I just can't do this anymore. It hurts too much. It's not about me. It's about the Lord. Oh. Learn the value of giving. And live a life of living, of giving. Give a life of living. Here we go. Live a life of giving to where you leave a legacy behind you. That even as Joseph was called son of encouragement, Barnabas, it's his legacy. That you and I would leave behind us a legacy. Wow. What a giver. What a lover of people. What a servant. You know, I've stood and heard people say, oh man, she was some cook. She was really, wow, she was a cook. I've heard them say, man, he was a worker. That man worked hard. You know, he worked 7 days a week for 40 some years. That was his legacy. Question this morning. What lessons are you teaching those who are watching your life? Or maybe more briefly, what will be your legacy? How are they going to remember you? Wouldn't it be grand for them to remember you as a giver? As a son or daughter of encouragement, as a servant. Father in heaven, I thank you this morning for the truth of your word, for the power of your word, and for the opportunity for us to study it for these few moments. It's hard to think that just in these few moments that we're going to change minds or hearts or anything, but your Holy Spirit is spectacular in setting things in motion that can have a beautiful ending. And I pray today over the seed that I have thrown onto the soil of these hearts. I pray that you would water it today by your Holy Spirit, that you would take care of that seed, that we would realize, every one of us in here, that people are watching. Our families, our friends, even people of this world are watching our lives. They will decide what our legacy is. Help us, O Lord, to look and to be that strong model. Help us, Master, to teach our lesson well, repetitively, so that it's stuck in people's minds of what we want them to know about us. May you be honored and glorified through our giving, because you have given so much for us. Thank you.